This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, a show that helps you to reshape your modern life using wisdom from the past.
Welcome to the Modern Caveman. We're joined this week by the medicine man, Michael McCammon.
Good morning. Good morning, Carl. Nice to see you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Very good to have you on. Very good to see you again. It's been a while since we had you on the show.
It's been several months.
Yes.
Like 6 months, a year.
I think 6 months to a year somewhere. Yeah, what have you been up to? What's been up in the medicines?
Having
world?
Fun, mostly.
Yeah?
Actually, I so enjoy my work. I don't even know if I can call it work because I meet new people every day. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And everyone's so different. There's such a variety. And I see people that are really enthusiastic and they're open to something new. You know, many of them have tried lots of other things and, you know, they've arrived at the door. And I always think it's a very special thing for someone to actually arrive at my door because it's a whole galaxy just turned up.
Yeah.
You know, this is a person, this is a life that's turned up. And it puts me on the spot, I have to say. I've got to draw from everything that I have experienced in my life. It's my training and my sense of what is the most appropriate for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as you know, what we're dealing with is people, not diseases. And it's particularly with naturopathy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is person-centered, you know, because, you know, we're going to be talking today about how our mind can affect our health. You know, it's our
Absolutely.
Mental attitude and so forth. So behind every disease, there is actually a kind of a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the mind actually creates the disease, but there is this feedback between how you think and how you feel.
Absolutely.
So the personality, the person is uppermost importance in my work.
Mm.
I want to know who they are. I want to know about their background. And then I can get into the skills that I've learned, the science of iridology,
yep.
you know, nutrition, you know, the live blood analysis and so forth. We can use science, but it's an art. You know, it's what Hippocrates said. Sure. You know, the science is very difficult. The art is long and the life is very short.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot to know. So when this galaxy called a person comes to see me, I have to leave everything that I know in some ways behind so I can actually see and feel the person first. Then I'll bring in what I know and hopefully hit the mark.
That's a very good way of explaining that and saying that.
Hit the mark.
Perfect. You told me a little bit earlier that you've done a little bit of writing that we're...
I'm writing about iridology at the moment. It's my fascination. My passion at the moment is how to read eyes. We're all so different, you know, and we've got blue eyes and we've got brown eyes and we've got gray eyes. And,
yeah.
and just having a blue eye has a certain significance in terms of what you can eat and what you can't.
Ah.
Right? So brown eyes tend to be more livery. The liver seems to be the main issue.
Yeah.
With blue eyes, it's more like the lymphatic system. You know, the blue eyes tend to get mucus and catarrh. And, of course, we have all sorts of subgroups. And we can see inflammation in the eyes, levels of inflammation, genetic strengths and weaknesses. So it's very handy to know how to read an eye when you're in a health practice like mine.
Yep.
And that's part of the information that I get when I see the person. Are they blue-eyed? Are they brown-eyed? Are the pupils large in response to light? Are they tight?
Hmm.
That'll give me an idea of the nervous system, whether they're an uptight person or feeling uptight at the time or whether they're very tired, will always show in the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, levels of inflammation, whether they've got allergies will immediately show up. Food intolerances will show up. That's just the basic information that appears to me just when they sit in front of me.
Absolutely, Michael. Mm. That's very interesting. I can't wait for that book to come out. I'll be one of the first ones
right.
to buy a copy.
Basically, it's reading the body, but the eyes are one of them. I'm also talking about reading the face and certain other indications that give you, you know, a clue, even like the shape of the tongue, the different colours of the tongue and so forth,
mm-hmm.
the coating of the tongue. So it's all about how to read the body for a health practitioner.
Absolutely.
In a simple way.
That's incredible. It sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And the way you do it is going to be a very interesting read, I think.
Mm, well, it's so much fun and so interesting. Never a boring moment.
Your enthusiasm is part of the reason why I brought you on for this topic, too.
Oh, that's good. Well, I was looking forward to coming, actually. Yeah.
Good. Well, before we carry on, we'll just tell everyone, you may notice Cuz is away. He's off. He just got back from doing a ride for ADRA, fundraiser for child poverty, and he's just run himself down a bit too hard, so he's a bit sick. So he's away this week after raising a large amount of money for child poverty. So
oh, wow,
congratulations to him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so yeah. Really good cause.
A really good cause.
Yeah, let's get into what we're talking about today. So what we're talking about today is top traits happy people have in common.
What's the common thing about happy people? That's really interesting.
And it's a bit of a thing out there that everyone kind of wants to be. We all want to be happy. We all want to be filled with joy and show that to everyone and be the life of the party. And it's very complex as to what causes that, but there's been quite a few studies done on it, and they have some starts here, at least, at describing what makes people happy.
Do you think everybody in the world wants to be happy? Would that be the common denominator for every person? And would it be, maybe is that a thing about life? Maybe a tree wants to be happy. Maybe everything wants to be happy. Mm. Could life be as simple as that?
I think that's what we strive for.
I think that it is. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're breathing, and you're alive, and happiness. If we could just learn to appreciate the simple things, you know, maybe that's the key somewhere in there.
Absolutely.
That if we know we want to be happy, you know, because a lot of people think that I want more money, or this is going to make me happy. I think that's a little bit more complex than that, or is it more simple than that? This is a good conversation.
We're either
going to end up totally, totally confused, or we're going to end up happy.
Hopefully happy. And
let's go for the happy.
Two of us always being a little bit happy, we'll go that way. So I guess one thing, every time we have a greeting with someone, we always ask, how are we doing today? How are you doing today? And we're hoping that they say good.
Yes.
We want people to be doing good, feeling happy, being in a good way. And we can tell by looking at people's facial expressions and micro expressions, we can tell if they're happy, if they're sad, if they're angry, if they're trying to be happy, but they may not be. How do we get that genuine happiness coming from within? We're going to say a couple of the few ways where this article lays out that they, you know, studied people and found out just what characteristics of a person's mentality are key to making them happy. And then we'll break down even those little aspects of it, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we ready for this?
We're ready for this.
All right, Michael. The first of the four main things that are going to help, or we'll bring it in here. So a positive humor helps maintain happiness for people. So if you have a good positive sense of humor and you can take things in a certain way, that's one really good thing. But here's
if you can't laugh, you're dead from the neck up. That's what my mom used to say.
She's a very smart woman. Mm. The four things that we can kind of look to, an extroverted personality. You're happy, kind of happy-go-lucky. Life of the party is the real extreme end of that. And you don't have to be a party. You can be the person who you just go up and you talk to somebody who you don't know and just try and make a friend. That would be another form of extroversion.
Right. Absolutely right.
That's one good one. Second one is your locus of control. The area in which you think your life is, you think you control your life, or do you think it's out of your control and other people are going to control, or other things are going to control your happiness or your well-being.
Are you the master of your life, or are you a victim?
There you go. That's exactly it right there. External or internal locus, your self-esteem. Do you have high self-esteem, low self-esteem? How do you talk to yourself within your head? Is it negative? Is it positive? And the last thing is
self-talk
optimism.
Must be the nastiest virus on this planet.
Agreed.
Agreed. Carry on.
That's very good input. Very good input. The last bit is optimism. Look at that glass half empty or half full.
Yes. Do you see the donut or do you see the hole?
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
So that's a good baseline for it. How do you feel about it? What is that bringing up inside your mind there?
What it brings up for me, Carl, is to know happiness, one must first understand sadness.
Yeah.
One must understand the depths of grief.
Yeah.
And I've often quoted a poem called The Well of Sorrow, that we throw the coins into the well, wishing, you know, making a wish in the well. And those people that go down to the bottom of the well, they find those round coins that people threw in wishing for something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poem by David White, and I have only paraphrased it. But especially at the moment with what's happening in Christchurch, to know this grief and to feel this grief, feeling it deeply and going into the core of it, you see, you can have a superficial happiness. You can be Bobo the clown, and that's not genuine happiness.
No, exactly.
To know happiness is to feel its opposite. In other words, to know happiness, a person needs to have a deep sense of empathy. And with that empathy, you actually, it's a courageous place to go. You do have to have courage to dive into your own pain, because you're not born in this world without pain. And by understanding pain, you begin to get this amazing sense of appreciation. And with a sense of appreciation, you start to appreciate that just breathing is, period, that's great, that's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start from the fact that you're breathing and that's happiness, you start to have this amazing sense of gratitude. And that sense of gratitude brings, touches that place, which is an unlimited wellspring of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so to know anything, one must know its opposite. And my hope for Christchurch is that walking by outside the museum with all those flowers and all those messages, and with a moving thing is that people in Christchurch and maybe in the whole of New Zealand has gone deep into themselves to acknowledge the grief of another.
Hmm.
Because we all can be self-pitying about ourselves. Oh, woe is me. You know, I burnt the toast. You know, I mean, something like this brings a perspective that no other thing can. And it's the most unfortunate thing that a deep tragedy can bring us to ourselves, and we can mm-hmm. start to appreciate other people. So out of this comes a sense or another wellspring called generosity,
mm-hmm.
which is something I talked about on my last talk.
Excellent.
Is that sense of generosity. Give till it hurts.
Yeah.
Give, and give more. Giving is one of the keys. It's the main key to happiness is to give.
Mm.
So no matter what your economic situation, no matter what your lifestyle situation, 10% of what you got, you can give away.
Mm-hmm.
And that system of tithing, no matter what you get in a wage, for example, if it's money, you can give 10% away. It won't make much difference. You give 10% away to someone that you feel inspires you, to someone that needs it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't got that, you've got 10% of your time, you go and help somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right? So this giving away, the sense of generosity is actually the key, because life isn't really about ourselves, it's about other people. But
that's
the magic of this
absolutely.
Is when you get that, guess who benefits?
Everybody.
You do. We all do. This mm-hmm. joy, that, and yet this wellspring of joy, and it's a bubbling spring. I remember this place called the Pupu Springs. It's in over the hill in Takaka, this incredible spring that comes out of the ground. It's so beautiful and clean, and to this day it's still clean.
Yeah.
And it just bubbles out of the ground. It's been doing it for thousands of years, and I like to look at that when I think of joy, when I think of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I see the spring coming out of the ground. It's just this unlimited volumes of millions of tons of this beautiful, clear water, and that's the joy. So what really helps with happiness is to know that if you start with just the fact that you're breathing,
mm-hmm.
and remember that every piece of oxygen loves you to bits.
Yeah.
It's going to go to every cell. It's going to love every single cell of the billions of cells in your body. It's going to love it. And every time you drink a glass of water, when you drink this amazing stuff, you're drinking pure love. And when you go out there in the sun's bathing you with this incredible miracle.
Mm.
And it's just making you glow, and just everything around you, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, the sun, and that amazing color called green, and then all the rest of the rainbow, because, you know, there's a medicinal quality for every color.
Hmm.
And we're bathed in color, and we get sunshine, and we get rain, and we're breathing, and we've got friends,
yeah.
and you love them, and you give 10% of what you have away, and you learn to appreciate and value your life. And this is, to me, this is the whole process and the philosophy of naturopathy,
mm.
right, is that you're appreciating what is natural, what is actually naturally around us, and what's naturally around us. The universe is so for us, but we only get that when we embrace tragedy. Isn't that a paradox?
Yeah.
And this is the perfect time for this message to come across, happiness, because out of tragedy, we can change the world.
What you just said there, and that locus of control, some people want to focus on the big picture and say, oh, it's so terrible, a little me can't change that. And that's one way to look at it, which is not going to be creating happiness. Where what you do is you say, look at what I can do.
Remember that movie, The Power of One?
Yep.
You have listeners, you have immense power.
Yep.
Never underestimate how much power you have as an individual.
Absolutely.
You think about these principles, have a good sense of humor. Embrace your tragedy. Don't run away from it. Embrace it. And thank the lucky stars that you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything around you loves you to bits. If you could just see that and feel it and be it. Start every morning. Even if you feel your life is crap, you start off in the day, you feel it, right? You feel it. You see it. You feel it and you be it. Even if you just pretend for a while, it'll come true for you.
Fake it till you make it.
Hey, fake it till you make it. I promise you I'm not faking it.
I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm just saying, but do that at the beginning and then you make it. Then you make it. And you have all these bits that this is things I already started talking about here, those four factors. You have the good sense
They're
of
humor. They're all in there. Yeah.
And what you just said kind of talked about all of that.
Yes.
Everything you said.
Yeah. Well, we did talk about it before.
We did talk about it before, but not in an extent.
Can I have a wee peek at it?
The
extroversion is this way of putting yourself out there. Now, a lot of people say that they're shy. You know, they're shy. Well, I don't agree with it. You know, especially some people, if you've married, well, you can't have been shy. You must have done a big sales trip to sort of get a partner somewhere along the line.
Mm-hmm.
The way to get out of introversion is to just know that you're actually a good person. You're actually really good and you've got so much to offer. And just have that little thing called courage, which you have, because no one on earth is without it. You can't come to earth without having some courage, right? And you can't get up in the day without having courage.
It takes a fair amount to get out of bed in the morning each day.
It does. So just guarantee that you've got it and just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just be who you are, you know? And that locus of control again, that's a good one. You know, should we talk about that a little bit more, locus of control? Because I've never seen it written that way.
It's fantastic. Mm. Do you have the power, or is the power something else that you just have to hope it comes to you? That's a powerful thing.
It's really important to know, no matter what your situation is, you're more powerful than you think.
Mm.
On the negative, we had one man with a gun that killed 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend too much time on that.
No.
But there's a weak man. There's a weak person.
Exactly.
What they could do. Now, feel yourself and know that you're so powerful to do completely all the opposite of what that man did.
Mm-hmm.
The power to make people happy is in your hands, listener. The power to make the person next to you, the power is there to just, you know, you can't make people happy you got to be happy. But by making people happy by following the principles of giving and generosity, right? The principle of tithing, the principle of appreciation. And last but not least, if you don't have a sense of humor, again, well, what else have you got? You've got to have a sense of humor.
You've got to be able to laugh.
And I'm not saying Bobo the Clown either. I'm not saying Bobo the Clown.
Yeah.
I'm saying a sense of humor comes from a place where you know the truth of the world, which is there's pain. And the suffering, it's Buddha's, you know, one of Buddha's four truths is that everybody suffers, all beings suffer. That's just the fact of life. But at the same time, there's this incredible joy that is around us at all time.
Absolutely. And when we talk about humor, we can get a bit more into that because you said not the clown humor. And there's actually
a place for it.
there's a place to have a bit of that. And there's a bit of a distinction of what type of humor. It's good-natured, fun humor. That's what they talk here. But the types that they say is not beneficial are the aggressive humor. That's at someone else's expense.
It's not humor. It's actually violence.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So that doesn't...
Violence dressed up as, you know, what is it? Mutton dressed as lamb.
Yeah, I know the same.
Mum used to say that. Good old. Thanks, Mum. What I'm saying is, there are some people, unfortunately, that are classified as narcissists. And again, I bring this up because of what has happened in Christchurch. Is there are people, unfortunately, that don't appear to have the souls that most people have. They seem to have no sense of empathy at all.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's one of the things we have to get a grips with. There are individuals there that I believe embody evil.
Mm.
It's a sad, sad thing. And what I have noticed that people, because I've met a few, the humor that they have, I wouldn't call humor, I'd call it dark. They can laugh, but they're laughing generally at other people's misfortune.
Mm.
And it's not like laughing for someone because he, you know, dropped the toast upside down. They're laughing because something really unfortunate, and they seem to get something, they get a sense of superiority from it. And it's generally because they have nothing inside.
Mm.
And they have to gain how do you say that word, notoriousness?
Yeah.
Notoriety.
Gotcha.
To be somebody because they have nothing inside, and that's sad. And unfortunately, those individuals, in my understanding, the narcissists, they will not change, no matter how much therapy you give them, no matter what. And that is the thing that it's hard for someone with empathy to actually get our heads around it.
100% agree.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the documentaries from some of the psychologists who interview mass murderers or people of that nature, they talk about how scary it is to be around them.
Yes, very scary. Yeah. And the Nuremberg trials was one thing where one of the perpetrators was interviewed, and he was quite proud of how efficient he was at using the methods of mass extermination. He was proud of how wonderful and efficient and how many people he could get through, and he said that during the Nuremberg trials.
Mm.
You know, it's like there was no sense of empathy, and remember, most people do have empathy, and that's the most amazing thing to focus on, really, is not the empty one. It's the fact that we've got so much love here, and I really want to focus on the amount of love that's in this country.
It was one person.
And there was one person. Yeah, it was just one flaming person.
Yeah. So another type of humor that doesn't work very well for making you be happy is self-defeating humor. So putting yourself down for the sense of humor.
Yes, yes. It depends on how much. Yes, but right. If it's a habitual thing.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so flaming. I'm so, you know, whatever. I'm so tough. I kick sand in my own face. You know, sort of thing. There's a gray area there.
Yep. Mm. A little bit being able to laugh at yourself is fine, but don't put yourself down.
Yeah, don't put yourself down. Absolutely.
Self-enhancing humor. Building yourself up too high.
Yes. That's right.
Getting back to the inflated ego.
Yeah, so that's when you're making fun of somebody's the overweight. How's that? They make fun of someone who's fat to make them feel better, or I don't know, the way that people will bring up something about a person's nose or something and make a joke about it, that is not funny.
Agreed. And affiliative humor, which is used to entertain others, which helps to enrich the quality of social relationships. That one does do a bit to help. So
now you might need to repeat that to me, because I think that went right off my head, over my head.
It's called affiliative humor.
Affiliative.
Which is used to entertain others and helps to enrich the quality of social relationships. So that can be beneficial, but it also could just be entertainment.
Yes.
Depending on the type of... So that's a little bit of a gray area.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
One of my favorite types of humor that I think fits into the good box of this are qualified as dad jokes.
Dad jokes. Yes. I love dad jokes.
Yes, they're oftentimes considered to be a bit lame, but I like it when my receptionist, my wife, tell me that my jokes are lame and they're dad jokes, and I laugh hysterically at them.
Yes.
And it just makes me quite happy.
Exactly. Like I went to the dentist yesterday, right? Yeah. Guess what time I went?
What time? 2:30?
Yes.
Ah.
And I did, and I love those kind of jokes. Absolutely. Have you heard about the fairy called Nuff?
No.
Fair enough. They are my jokes. I call them 12-year-old
jokes.
They're
fantastic.
But I like jokes, but unfortunately not everyone likes 12-year-old jokes. Not everyone likes dad humor.
Well, this story just goes to show, this study goes to show, that as long as you like it, it'll make you happy.
Yes, it does. the unfortunate thing is I can roll up hilariously on the floor laughing at a joke I've said 12 times and nobody else thinks it's funny, which is a bit of a drag.
That's their problem. It's their problem if they don't think it's funny.
I don't think it's doing anybody any harm. Maybe they're just laughing at me rolling on the floor.
There you go. They can choose to do it. They just have to find the humor.
They usually do crack a laugh, but not about the joke. It's about me on the floor.
Exactly. Mm. Either way, they got a laugh out of it.
There you go. Yes. Deepak Chopra said something about that too, that to know an enlightened person is one of the signs is they never take themselves too seriously either. And one can have an ideal and get a little bit upset about it, you know, and that's a gray area.
Yeah.
But if you take yourself too seriously, it's a bit like you become quite a bore.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can't be afraid to have a little bit of a laugh, even, you know, if the occasional one is at your expense, be able to laugh at it.
Yes. A sense of humor, and don't be too precious.
Yep, exactly.
Don't be too precious. You hear that, guys? Don't be too precious.
There's three other characteristics of the personality that seem to lend to happiness. And you've already touched on a bit of these with it, but they added three extra to the main four that they started with. So the first one, kindness.
Kindness.
Generosity is number two.
Yes.
And gratitude, being thankful for the things that we've received.
Kindness, generosity, and thankfulness. And each one, each one births the other.
Yeah.
All three are one. And each one, it's like you get the synergy happening. Kindness, generosity, and?
Gratitude.
And gratitude. So gratitude will make you kind.
Yes.
Yeah, gratitude will make you kind. Yeah. Generosity. I just get a wonderful feeling giving generosity. You know, I've just bought, there's a wonderful health food shop in Brighton, and I get really inspired by Mr. Marshall's because they're doing so well out there. They don't know this yet, but I bought them all tickets to the movies.
Nice.
Because they inspire me. See, this is one, this is the way, I don't know, I'm not saying this to say how cool I am, you know. I'm just saying that people do inspire me, and the people out there are doing such good work, you know. These people that have been pushing the barrel for so long, come hell or high water, and what they're doing, such good work in the community. I just love to sort of let them know that we actually appreciate them, you know.
Very good.
And money is not money to me. It's generosity. It's gratitude. You know, so when you pay a bill, folks, it's not money. You're not paying money. Let's get that out of your head. You're actually showing your appreciation for the goods that you bought or the services that you bought that actually make your life better. For the electrical bill, isn't it great to have a warm house? You're not paying for it. You're showing your appreciation for the fact that, you know, a couple of hundred years ago you had candles and gas lights. So it's money's not money. It's appreciation.
Absolutely. Michael, if someone out there is listening and they don't quite have your upbeat personality yet, were you just born this happy? Or how do you work towards
it? I've had tremendous depression in my life. I've had anxiety, depression. At one stage, I was on a lot of high doses of medication.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly been through my hell. I've certainly been to hell and back more than once. I understand depression very well. I certainly don't feel depressed. It's very, very rare. I can't remember the last time it's a long way back. But I certainly know what anxiety and depression is. I've hit the wall, you know. For one thing, I tried to save the world, and that's a silly idea. You can't save the world. Well, actually, I found out that when you stop wanting to save the world, you can, which is the interesting thing.
There's that locus of control.
Yes. So, the principles I've talked about, I live those principles.
Yeah.
And I learnt that through diving right down to the bottom of the well of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I know the well of sorrow. I know grief. I know loss. And you know, I'm not going to go into it, but I have experienced it on a very deep level. So that's what I mean by embracing your grief. There's a key there for you. There's the little gold coins at the bottom of the well that people threw wishing for something else. But those gold coins are worth getting if you want to dive down to the bottom of that well. There's a joy in there that's beyond all understanding. There's this incredible joy. So, I'm not talking through a hole in my head here.
No, you
I understand depression, and I really feel it when other people are depressed. Mm-hmm. And wherever I can, I'm right there for them, you know, when I can be.
And when you talk about it, there's still that same genuine great smile on your face. So you can see it's coming from deep within, and it's not that.
There was a huge gift from the pain that I experienced. There was a huge gift that came out of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you can see that in your eyes. So give some of the tips that you have towards making those people, some of the practical applications somebody could do right now to get
that's a really good statement, actually, because we're talking about attitude here and we're talking about things that you do.
Yeah.
But you know, you can actually be quite depressed chemically simply from having the wrong gut flora.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if you've got incorrect gut flora, which most people have, you're not going to be able to create serotonin. Serotonin is a chemical that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the other side of depression is we've really got to look at the chemical side of depression, because you could actually be feeling depressed because you're deficient in B vitamins.
Yep, absolutely.
You could be depressed because your neck is out of place, right?
Yes,
you're a chiropractor. You do chiropractic.
Absolutely.
So you know how, you know, if your neck's out of place and you've got headaches, and, you know, it's very hard to feel happy when you're in the middle of a migraine.
Chronic pain.
And if you're living with chronic pain, you could have everything in the world. You have the best partner in the world. You could have $1 million in the bank and the best house in the world, should I say. And you'll be depressed because it's circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
And you're unwell. So there's a thing that there's a mechanical reason in this case, and it needs a chiropractic adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And but the chemistry is it that everything's connected. So the most important thing, and this is again the message of naturopathy in my practice, I make sure that the basics are there. And I've yet to find a single individual that didn't have mineral deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got mineral deficiencies, you know, say for example, you're deficient in iodine, you will be depressed if that happens to be the mineral you're deficient in. And our soils don't have enough iodine. So the thyroid's not going to be perky. you're not going to get circulating properly. You're going to have cold hands and feet. You're going to suffer from anxiety. You might have heart palpitations. You might feel absolutely crap when you wake in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's not because you're not a good person or that anything's wrong, although you'll find things that'll be wrong because you always do. It could be the fact that you've got a low thyroid. And so we need to really look at the other side of it, which is our physical body and our chemical makeup.
Absolutely.
So I'm very big on minerals and very big on and the other thing is the diet. You know, we've got four different blood groups, and each blood group has a different need for different foods.
Yeah.
And there's certain blood groups, say, for example, the O, because I know O really well because I'm an O, we're hunters and gatherers normally, and a vegetarian diet, as much as I did it and tried it, wasn't good for me. I'm not saying it's going to be good for somebody else. Some of the blood group A could probably thrive. But I had to have some meat, not much, but I had to have some meat, and that made the difference. And there are some people, say, for example, generally blue-eyed people that don't do well on dairy and wheat, right? The blue-eyed people mostly. And so, of course, and then there's the brown-eyed people and the liver issues. Even the liver can make you really depressed if it's not detoxing properly. So the different foods for different people can make a huge difference. You can get a high on sugar, but it will give you a low too. So if your blood sugar's down, you're going to feel depressed. And if your blood sugar is too high, or your thyroid, say, for example, it goes the other way and it's too high, a hyperthyroid, you'll have terrible anxiety. And so this is the thing, is to, in some ways, happiness is so simple, but it's also incredibly complex. And that's why it's people like you and me that we study these things to know what the human body and the human mind and the human soul needs.
Absolutely.
And it needs more than just bread and water. it needs a whole lot of things. But this is the thing. If we want to beat the Aussies in the rugby, you've got to have those 15 men on the field. And if you leave one man out, no matter how good they are quite likely going to lose the game. And so when it comes to naturopathy and when it comes to the science of happiness and the art of happiness, is that you need all the men on the field, or all the women on the field if it's a basketball team, shall we say. And when you have all those men in place, so it means that a good diet, you know, a good diet. Make sure you get your minerals. You know, I'm big on cod liver oil too, by the way, as you know, because believe it or not, even cod liver oil could get you happy after a time, as long as you've got the minerals with there. Make sure you've got a happy spine. Make sure your spine is aligned, right? Because you see people when their spines are all out, what are they like in terms of mood? Is there a relationship between a person who has chronic back pain and
chronic back pain? They oftentimes put on the face of they're making it through, but then when you get them alone in a room, they oftentimes kind of start to come apart a bit. And as you start to get that pain away, so they're not on high levels of codeine and all these other painkillers that are gabapentin that's dulling the nerve pain and all these other things that just make the face just get washed up.
And that dulls their joy, doesn't it?
It does.
It dulls them down because when you dull pain with chemicals, you're dulling your own spirit.
Absolutely. And you see the face just kind of lack all expression and is just in pain, and it's like they've just run a marathon every day for the past 2 years. They just have nothing left behind the eyes. And then after you start to get a bit of the pain away, you start to see those eyes liven back up, and you see the face get a bit of color in it, get a bit of spirit in it, and you can tell that they're better before they even said anything to you. And when you start, and with the people that have been in it for a long time with a lot of surgeries that haven't done the trick for them, you can see how difficult it is. And it takes a while to get them to start feeling better. But once they do, they just, even the littlest bit of pain relief over that long time, they just are so perked up and they look like a different person. And if people who didn't have chronic pain saw somebody with chronic pain, what they went through, they'd work so much harder to try and keep themselves in the right place and keep their health where it is. Because once you get there, it's so debilitating.
You're so right. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your practice as they walk out. and just a little mention that I suffered from severe migraines for over 20 years. And it was very hard to be happy during that particular, you know, during the migraines. I have to say that was quite a thing. But again, it's the chicken and egg thing. As the as I learned what you know how to deal with the migraines, how to move through that. Through all sorts of other reasons. There was the food, there was the chiropractic, right? There's the adjustments, there was the gut flora, there's the methods and things like that. But that's another story.
Exactly.
You know?
It's never as simple as just one thing.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
Absolutely. Very well done. So they also have some recommendations that they found in this study that talked about the different personalities for happiness and some things that we can do to make ourselves happier.
Ah.
So right. this is we're doing the food,
Let's
we're doing
hear.
All this stuff, we're really getting out there, and what are we going to do? So in terms of that extrovert type.
Ah, yes.
Join a club that interests you.
Yes.
Do something. Do an extracurricular activity. Do something, you know, after you get home from work. Go do something you enjoy.
Okay. Now, as I was coming in, I heard someone being interviewed here, and they were asked what they love to do, and they didn't know.
Ooh.
What do you say to people that don't know what they love?
What did you like to do when you were a kid?
Ah.
When you were sitting around on the floor, did you like to color? Did you like to draw? Did you like to play with farm animals on the little stick figures? What did you do then?
Anyone out there that can't answer that? Hope not.
I don't think so. I think everybody had something they liked to do when they were a little one.
Absolutely.
Even if it was just go out and play in the mud. Then you go do hiking.
Play in the mud. Yes.
Go play in the mud.
Absolutely. If you like drawing, you can go to an art class.
Exactly. There's all different types of
clubs.
What if you
like throwing things at the teacher? What if you like throwing the duster at the teacher? Chalk at the teacher. No, they threw it at us. That's right. Sorry, I've got it wrong.
Come over with the ruler and
slap baseball. You get a baseball, football.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, absolutely.
Go join a club for that.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
That's a good thing. That gets the socializing, that gets the physical activity.
Does.
It gets all those different things going
okay.
on.
Okay, so get out there and do something.
Get out there and do something. Get yourself moving.
Get
active.
Great.
Another one. You talked a little bit about this. Volunteer for a cause you believe in.
Absolutely.
And we're making a difference by doing. We take that locus of control. We do something. We have control. We have the power.
You've got
we're
something
make
to groan about. Change it.
Exactly, and the one thing that we can do really easily on the walk to work, or the walk at your lunch break, when you walk past an area, there's going to be some wrappers on the ground most likely, especially if you're by a McDonald's or a Hardee's or a Burger King or whatever.
Yep.
And what you do is you pick those up, and you take them to the garbage and you throw them away. The local garbage.
So you mean rappers like rubbish. You don't mean rappers that are singing and playing music.
Yes. The rubbish rappers. Yes.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good one.
Every morning on my walk to work, I see at least, three or four bags.
Yeah.
You just pick them up, throw them in the little bin beside you, and it makes you feel like you've done something.
Mm.
Just a little something. But every day, it's just a little something that helps to make you feel
better.
There you
go. Better. I failed miserably this morning because someone threw something out of a car when I was driving, and I didn't turn around and pick
That makes it a little bit more challenging.
Yes, I know that's
a little bit more challenging. But if you're when you go for your walk at lunch or whatever it is, whatever time it is,
yes.
Do a little something like that. It's a real easy one to get you on the right track.
Yes. Okay.
You want to read the next one on there, Michael? We'll give you the next one.
Enroll in a class to learn a new skill or hobby.
Ah, there you go.
That's good.
I like that. There's in Christchurch, there's so many different classes you can do. I was looking online to find some. There are woodworking classes. There was a cast iron making class.
Cast iron class.
All different stuff.
Yeah, and for the retired people, there's the men's shed too. One of my friends is doing that, getting a lot out of that. And I'd quite like to learn how to do the deaf language, that would be interesting. Yeah, that would be good. Another one. Rituals of connection, such as calling a certain friend every Monday.
There you go.
That is a good one.
It's very good. I
still meet with my high school mates every Thursday.
Nice.
we have wonderful conversations. Astrophysics, all sorts of things, and just chin-wagging. There's nothing better than a chin wag. It's a ritual.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have to be all that interesting, but it often is.
You just get together and you reminisce.
Rituals of connection. That's a wonderful one. That you look at any happy culture, they have rituals. Rituals are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And rituals of connection.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Together with the family.
Yeah, and ring a friend. Just ring somebody. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Join a gym.
Absolutely.
Join a gym.
Get that physical activity.
Yeah. Shall we go over it together?
All right, I'll take it back over again here. Frequent local shops and markets where you can build relationships with the people around you.
Aren't our markets wonderful here in Christchurch?
Fantastic.
Littleton Market, Riccarton Market. What's the other one?
Another Riccarton Market too.
Yeah.
Riccarton Bush and Riccarton
That's all those people in the markets. Yeah, and the Opawa Market. Oh, it's such a nice market. Yeah. And they're all so lovely. good. And they love to talk. And, they're not doing it just for the money. It is a ritual.
Absolutely.
These people that don't be shy in telling them how cool they are. That's something I would like to add.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you go to the supermarket, you just see, let them know how much you appreciate them. The fact that they're standing there all day just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know, never treat someone behind a counter badly.
Exactly.
It's an awful thing that occasionally I see And never let that go by. Never let them get away with it. That if you're in a grump, don't unload on somebody who's there standing there, because they don't have the power to tell you to bugger off.
Exactly.
They've got a job and you know it. And so do not be a bully. Don't be a bully to people behind the counter. Let them know that they're fantastic. They're a person just like you, you know. And, boy, I wouldn't like to stand up all day. You know? Ah. I've done that, been there, done that. But, you know, but I remember when I did have the job of standing behind a counter when I was younger, some people were just downright rude. Only a few, but it can spoil your day. So you've got the power to change somebody's day. You see them looking a little bit sad, buy them a bunch of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them how cool they are.
Very good thing. Yeah. Talk to strangers during your daily commute at the grocery store and while walking your dog.
Exactly.
That's with our age of modern technology, that's something that's really, really taken a hit in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
People walk around playing with their phone more than looking up and being aware of what's going on around them.
Yes. Yes, they do. That's this being buried in the phone thing is actually, apart from anything else, is downright rude.
Mm.
So if you're meeting with someone, you know, put your phone away, or if it's an emergency call, just apologize first before you actually, you know, because the person in front of you surely is the most important person in the world.
Exactly. This point to go along with the whole theme for today is around happiness. And I've had a show before where we talked about the interconnectedness and what it's doing for depression with that being on the phone, how it's linked in some studies. And so that's actually probably even more powerful than this story lets on, is how important that phone is to having not a good mood and not being quite in the right place.
You mean the electronic EFMs, yeah. Electromagnetic frequencies.
Well, being disconnected from the real world.
Oh, yes, yes.
Into your phone,
yes,
all the time.
I know that when anything's all the time, it's an imbalance. You can eat too much butter all the time, but butter's good for you in small amounts. You can drink too much water. So in some ways, this is a classic example of the technology in the phone, is that no matter what you look at in life, there's equal amounts of benefits as there are drawbacks. And the thing is, the phone can actually connect us up, you know. You can talk to anyone in the world now. Isn't that incredible connection?
It
can
get better.
But also, it can be used in a way that disconnects you completely, and you can actually spend your life in disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And disconnect is where unhappiness lies. Disconnect is where depression lies. When you feel that you're different and you disconnect, that is what makes you unhappy.
Mm.
That is actually the key. And remember this, folks, if all else fails, just go down the bottom of the garden and eat some worms. No. Disconnect is the source of this, of the evils of the world.
Mm.
Disconnect is a lie, because we're all connected, and that is absolutely the truth of it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You and me are connected. We're connected 100%. To everybody in the whole world. We all come from the same seed. This planet itself is a living being. You cannot have anything in isolation. And the biggest mistake you can ever think in your life is that you're alone.
Mm.
Because I promise you, you're not alone. You're never alone. And if we see that our neighbor, they might have a different religion, they might look differently, they might be different colors of skin, they might speak differently, they may even walk funny, they might be fat, they might be thin, they might be ugly, they might whatever you think, it's just a value judgment. They're people, and that when we see another person, you're looking at yourself.
Hmm. Absolutely. Mm. We have one that's a bit of a good one. I'm trying to work on this, but only one half of my marriage is keen on this one, and that is, consider adopting a pet such as a dog, which can provide companionship and a source of unconditional love, as well as act as an icebreaker socially.
I want a puppy.
I want a dog.
I want a puppy. You want a puppy.
I want a dog.
What sort of a dog would you like?
I like big dogs. I'm a big dog fan. I need the big dogs. The little dogs that yip a lot, I can't.
No, they're bad on your heels. You know, the blood coming out of your heels.
Yep. You accidentally step on them, then you feel guilty because you couldn't see them.
Oh, the guilt's terrible, terrible.
Where the big dog, you see it everywhere. It may flop on your
knee. I can see you're a big dog man. Yeah. Yes. I'm sort of a medium dog man. I quite like Labradors and Hunterways. They're really nice.
I like labs.
And I miss my dog, actually. He died. But anyway, Sally was her name. She was so sweet. But I also miss my cat, Boris.
Yeah.
Boris, at every evening, we would crawl up my chest and lick my face for an hour or so. I have never experienced love so deep and so devoted as Boris. And Boris, I miss you. And one day I hope we'll meet again in another world.
Absolutely.
But yes, get a pet.
Get a pet.
Get a pet that loves you to bits. And boy, talk about unconditional love. They love you so much, don't they? Absolutely.
It is.
So that's That's a big plus.
Give you a couple of the last two there are yours, Michael.
Well, you know, there are so many families that sort of kind of fall out, and that's the thing with family. You can get sick of each other, and, you know, remember that your family knows all your buttons, and I feel like, you know, they can push every button, but, you know, just sit down and think about this. You know, you spent your early lives together. They know you so well, and whether you think it or not, they absolutely are the ones that love you unconditionally, really. They think that you might think it's conditional, but really, at the bottom, you know, you scrape it all away, they love you. Mm. And let's face it, you actually love them. No matter how much, you know, Auntie so-and-so annoys you, mm-hmm. or whatever your partner might be, or your mother-in-law, that the love is there, and it's a pretty special love. And I think if you just sit down and realize that you've actually got more love than you can possibly imagine you ever had, and family does love you, and it really helps to express that. And sometimes if you find it hard to say, just I don't know, send them a bunch of flowers or just a phone call. Yep, how you going, mate? You know, whatever, just something. It just takes so little to let them know that you love them.
Absolutely. And our modern era of Skype and FaceTime makes it very easy to connect them.
So easy. And they just, you know, right, whatever. If you've got a brother or sister that you haven't seen, they might be overseas, get on the phone now and just say hi. Just be a 1 minute phone conversation. Just ring up and tell them that you love them.
Perfect.
That's very simple, isn't it? And the last one I'm going to leave to you.
The last one they have on here is attend religious services or support groups.
Yes.
That sense of family and the sense of
the community of believers, the community Absolutely. Of knowing that there is a God, mm-hmm. and that God's in your life, yeah. and he or she loves you unconditionally.
And, I mean, these are psychologists talking about this, and Carl Jung talked to kind of bring this topic to a close about the need for that within us, and that's where, why it exists too, because we need it as well as the signs out there in the world around us about it. So,
and apart from needing it, it's just, frankly, it's the truth. We're never alone. We are loved very deeply.
Absolutely.
Believe that, because it's the truth.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming, Carl.
Great show.
Wonderful. Good.
We'll see you next
time.
Catch
up. Bye-bye.
You can find our podcast on Facebook at Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, on the Plains FM website and iTunes, and you can get the live stream from plainsfm.org.nz or the TuneIn app. On behalf of Carl Wartee, I'm Dr. Carl Bamlett, chiropractor at the Alpha Omega Clinic, reminding you that you can't change from within, on the outside looking in.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman. For more healthy lifestyle tips, find Dr. Carl on drcarlbamlett.com and like him on Facebook. I'm Pascal Batrick, signing off for Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman.